Sunday, January 5th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will honor Brother Yusef Lateef. This program originally aired in January 2010 when Brother Yusef received an NEA Jazzmaster Award. This program contained comments by journalist and Yusef Lateef biographer Herb Boyd. We'll also hear from friend and collaborator, composer and percussionist Adam Rudolph. That's Sunday, January 5th at 11 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Yes, this is indeed Sugar in My Bowl. We have to abbreviate our little opening theme of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl. I want a little sugar in my bowl. Just to let you know that Yusef Lateef, this is a rebroadcast of a program that aired in January of 2010 when Yusef Lateef received an NEA Jazzmaster. Herb Boyd, journalist and co-author of The Gentle Giant will be included, and we're going to open with Adam Rudolph, a fellow collaborator and close friend of Yusef Lateef. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm speaking with Adam Rudolph. And Adam Rudolph is, well, I don't know, I think of you as a friend, a musical collaborator. How would you describe your relationship with Yusef Lateef?
Yeah, those are appropriate words. Yusef and I have been working together since 1988. And, yeah, over that time, we developed a really warm and wonderful friendship. I've always looked at him as a musical mentor and really as a life mentor. But it evolved into a real family feeling. And I think he was always interested in my musical ideas, and we exchanged a lot of thoughts about music and philosophy. The last several years, we spoke on the phone probably once a week. And as I moved into performing with my own groups more and more, the Moving Pictures Ensemble, my octet, and my Go Organic Orchestra, I always left time, though, that whenever Yusef called me to perform with them, I always made myself available.
Now, Yusef had mentioned that I think he said he had gone to Nigeria or something for like 4 or 5 years. And when he returned, you had given him a call. You were referred to him by Charles Moore. Is that correct?
That's right. Yusef lived and worked in Zaria, Nigeria for 4 years in the early 80s. And the way he explained it to me when he returned, his music had really shifted. And I hope your listeners will take the time to investigate his music of the last 25 or almost 30 years since he returned, because it's a very different and significant body of work that included many releases on his YAL records. I just was looking the other day. I actually performed on 18 of those recordings. And also, he and I co-released 4 with his YAL and my Meta Records projects that we co-composed and collaborated on.
Wow.
I'm from the south side of Chicago and grew up there and came up playing there, but very early I met Kenny Cox and Charles Moore from Detroit and started performing there when I was 17. So through Kenny and Charles, the Detroit connection, Yusef somehow heard our music and we connected, and he invited the group that I was involved with at that time called Eternal Wind, which was Charles Moore and Ralph Jones from Detroit and myself and Federico Ramos from Uruguay to perform with him at Symphony Space, with Cesar McBee played bass. One of the things that was so beautiful about that concert is that Yusef, he invited me to actually compose some music for that concert, even though we had never met before. And that was sort of indicative of his attitude towards me, and I think everybody around him as a figure who was an inspiration and a motivator, too, and kind of the generosity and openness that he always projected. So I was grateful to do that concert, and it was the beginning of a long and beautiful friendship. He opened so many doors for me and many musicians and really shined a light and gave us all really deep insight. You know, the mentorship idea is something that's not really about what you're doing. It's about how you do it. He showed us a lot of creative processes and ways of thinking about things that helped us find our own voice and develop our own direction. So as Yusuf says, the tradition is to sound like yourself.
Right.
So that's a whole process. And beyond the how to do things, the process, there's also the why of it, which is the mysticism of it. And that leads into the connection between, I think, your art and your life. Mm-hmm. And Yusuf was, as anybody who has met him knows, was a radiant, luminous, beautiful person. And even people who haven't met him, I know they can hear it projected through the voice of his instrument, whatever, if he's playing tenor or flute or bamboo flute, whatever it is. We can always hear that, too.
I was talking to my partner, and we were talking about how, because you mentioned the YAL label and the recordings that happened under that, the work that you had done with him on that label, and how different the sound is, because a lot of people seem to be accustomed to, as was I before I spoke to him, the recordings that were done on Prestige and, you know, the old school ones, you know, and Atlantic and all that. And he was definitely going in another direction.
Well, he said to me often, he said, well, Brother Adam, we're evolutionists.
Right.
You know, and he also said that with every recording and project he did, he wanted to do something he had never done before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an incredible challenge and takes a certain kind of courage and attitude that is just so inspiring. I look at Yusuf's body of work the way I would look at someone like Picasso or Miles Davis. There's a distinct periods and changes, and Yusuf was definitely interested in moving and not repeating himself,
mm-hmm.
like John Coltrane, or also, you know, people
right.
who wanted to try new things. So the audience, like with Miles, you know, not if people love you for something you did in the past, and they some people will move with you, and some people won't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When Yusuf received the NEA Jazz Masters Award, and there was a presentation at Lincoln Center, I think it was 2010, they had wanted him, along with everybody else, to play with the Lincoln Center Big Band, and he was like, no, I have something else in mind.
Right.
And he called me, I was the only really, like, additional musician, and he wanted us to play a duet, and we're playing for, this is the house of the traditional, I guess what they call, you know, whatever, J-A-Z-Z.
Right.
And so, but Yusuf came out, and you know, all the, his peers are there. And I think there was some feeling, you know, of course, that everybody would like to hear him do what
right.
he did in 1962, you know.
Right, exactly.
But he said, that's not him anymore.
Right.
And he came out and he started playing a bamboo flute, and I was playing some Tibetan bells, and he had a electronic music tape, and we went to, like, I played some hand drums and tenor, and then I played didgeridoo, and he sang an incredible song called Brother Hold Your Light.
Oh, wow.
And then I played piano, and he played some flute, and it was 10 minutes, and I'll tell you something, Joyce, you could hear a pin drop in there. He brought the magic into the room.
Sure.
And that, which he always did, but the point of the story is he wanted to present where he was at that moment in time.
Exactly, exactly.
And I so admire that. Yusuf used to say, when you get rid of one thing, you have to replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the kind of studiousness and investigation. And if people who listen to him, you can even hear not only his musical concept change, but even in the years that I was with him, I could hear what he was playing on the tenor and on the flute. He was playing different kinds of things. He was always investigating, always trying new things, both as a composer and as a spontaneous composer, a performer, too. Now that he's especially an ancestor,
mm-hmm.
the whole idea of an ancestor is to try and cultivate those qualities that you admire about that person in yourself.
Right.
Yeah. We did a concert. I helped him produce a concert at Roulette in Brooklyn last spring, 2013. That was his last full concert that included a lot of his through-composed works. A lot of people aren't aware that Yusuf wrote many through-composed. He's one of the first to do that, coming from his tradition. Through-composed as in quote-unquote classical pieces. There's no improvisation involved. He just sent his fourth symphony to the copyist about a month before he passed away.
Mm.
So he had a string quartet perform that night, a saxophone trio, and a new piano piece. And then after intermission, he and I performed, and we did what we call spontaneous composition. After our many, many years of performing together, we didn't even need to speak directly about what we were going to do because we were on the same page and had developed a language together. Yusuf knew how to really listen, you know. We used to talk about spontaneous composition is all about listening and imagination, you know, and sharing those qualities, those three qualities.
Were any of these, see, when I'm speaking about Yusuf Lateef, I really have to pay attention to what words I use to describe
right.
things. So what I'm actually trying to ask is, are there any recordings of the most recent live exchanges that you just mentioned?
Yusuf has just a few months ago released music from that concert of the through-composed classical pieces. And I did what I call an organic arrangement of a poem that he recited called When. And that CD is entitled When. It's on YAL Records. And then at the same time, he asked me to mix and release the remainder of the concert, the duet that he and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be coming out very soon.
Okay.
I'm still working on that. There is a brand new release on YAL and Meta Records of a concert we did a couple years ago with myself and Yusuf and Roscoe Mitchell and Douglas Ewart called
okay.
Voice Prints that's available.
And where can we find those?
Well, there's two places, YusufLateef.com.
Okay.
And also, my website sells all of those, and that's metarecords.com. And then they're also all available on the usual. Or, actually, if you're in New York, the Downtown Music Gallery, if you want.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Well, they're all there.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Adam Rudolph, for sharing your experience with Yusuf Lateef and for spending time with him and sharing that with us as well.
My pleasure. It's always a real pleasure and honor to speak about Yusuf. It's a sad time, but what a beautiful being, and he'll be missed. But I'm glad I got to spend a good chunk of those 93 years with him and to become his friend. And I'm glad that all that music is out there for everybody to still appreciate.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Adam Rudolph.
Thank you.
When we no longer hear sounds of peace, love, and kindness in our hearts, and our eyes fail to see the beauty of Providence's creation, we will have Providence to call on. Joy seeing the valley of the leaves and feeling the gentle touch of the wind, rain, and snow. We will have Providence to call on. When our hearts are not strangers to the truth, and we still remain humble, then we still have Providence to call on. Thank you.
Good day, Yusuf Lateef. Thank you for joining Sugar in My Bowl.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
I'm so glad you're available. I guess I should congratulate you for being named one of the 2010 American Jazz Masters by the National Endowment for the Arts.
Well, thank you.
Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, it means that there's someone who appreciates what I've been trying to do, and that's always a good feeling.
I guess I should first start off by also mentioning that you no longer use the word jazz.
That's not for my music.
Right. You haven't been doing it for 30 years?
Yes, it's 1970.
Why don't you tell us what you refer to it as?
Autophysiopsychic music.
Autophysiopsychic music, which means?
Which means music from the physical, the mental, the spiritual self, and the heart.
And the reason why you refer to it is that, it seems self-explanatory by just the definition. But
yeah, I think so.
Okay. I actually, once I was aware that that is what you referred to it as, I was in agreement because that's,
thank you.
It definitely is a more sensory experience. I also heard that you, after having read some of the definitions that people gave to jazz, you decided, well, this just isn't going to work.
Yeah, it's not for me. It doesn't work.
I mean, some of the words were, what was it?
Skullduggery.
Right, right.
Poppycock.
Right.
Oh, that doesn't work.
Well, thank you very much for giving a new name.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I mean, rehearsed behavior and years of usage may be difficult in my actually referring to it as a newer phrase and still referring to it as jazz, but I like your expression.
Thank you.
And speaking of expressions, I have to tell you, your version of Sea Breeze was something that I had been searching for. I heard it, I think I was 13 or something. And I'm over 40 now, and I wasn't familiar with the song, and I didn't hear the announcer mention the name, so I was searching for years, like, what is this song? What is this song? And I was watching a Romare Bearden documentary, and then it hit, there it is! I love that song. I love your interpretation of it, and I think it's because of the oboe. How did you wind up? Well, I understand you started playing tenor.
Well, the first year I played alto, then I changed to tenor.
Okay.
And in high school, the teacher suggested I play oboe, and I didn't take him up until 9 years after I left high school, finished high school. I studied the oboe. It was in 1951.
And oboe just gave a new, for me, it was just a new dimension to listening. I mean, it took me further.
Oh, thank you.
And from there, it seemed as though you played flute, and then you branched out into all types of flutes and reed instruments.
Yeah, many of them. I was compelled to look into other avenues of musical expression once I did my first album. Savoy Records called it Jazz Mood, and I realized if I was to continue recording, I'd have to enhance my musical canvas, if you will. ¶¶
you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. We're listening to a rebroadcast from January of 2010 when Yusef Lateef received an NEA Jazzmaster. Yusef Lateef transitioned on December, I hate to even remember, I think it was the 28th, I'll have to double check, it's either the 28th or 23rd, oh, I'm not looking at the right, I should have written that down before I opened the mic, but in any event, what we're listening to right now is the beginning, Yusef Lateef from the release Jazz Mood, 1957 Savoy Jazz Records release, Ernie Farrell on bass, Curtis Fuller, trombone, Louis Hayes drums, Hugh Lawson piano, Yusef Lateef on flute, tenor sax and scraper, and argol. Before that, we heard Sea Breeze, my favorite song on the planet. Sea Breeze by Yusef Lateef from Cry Tender, 1959 prestige release. Lonnie Hillier on trumpet. Hugh Lawson on piano. Herman Wright on bass. Frank Gant on drums, Yusef Lateef on tenor sax, oboe, and flute on other recordings. Oh, it was oboe on that one. Tenor sax and flute on other recordings. Look on the Right Side, Yusef Lateef from the 1978 CTI Audio Physio Psychic release. Art Farmer on flugelhorn, Cliff Carter keyboards, Eric Gale electric bass, Gary King or Alex Blake on Eric Gale on electric guitar, Gary King or Alex Blake on bass, Jim Madison on drums, Sue Evans on percussion, Yusef Lateef on soprano sax, tenor sax, flute, Shania, and on that recording, vocals, Look on the Right Side. Before that, we heard an unreleased recorded live event in April of 2013, Adam Rudolph. We ended our exchange with Adam Rudolph with this poem, part of the poem, When. It was a duet between Yusef Lateef and Adam Rudolph. And I'd like to thank Adam Rudolph. I'd also like to thank Dr. Charles Dawson for connecting me with Yusef Lateef to begin with. And thank you so much, C. Daniel Dawson. And before that, we heard the theme, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, from Nina Simone. We'll go back to the exchange between me and Yusef Lateef on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Struggling into music in other cultures such as India, China, Indonesia, etc.
How did you wind up recording the love theme from Spartacus on Eastern Sound?
I was with Prestige and the A&R man. He suggested, why don't you do an album called Eastern Sounds? And that's all he said. That was a good idea. And then I saw the picture, love theme from Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was quite a beautiful composition. So I went to Chinatown. I found a Chinese flute that I liked. And there's a piece on there using that flute. And each theme was oriental orientated, if you will.
Yes, from the East.
From the East, right.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful song.
I think it is, too.
Just feel really good every time I hear it.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
I understand you played with Dizzy Gillespie.
Yes, 1948-49.
Did you also record with him?
Yeah, I recorded Sweetie Sweet Chum Chidley Bar. It was one album I was on.
That experience like, just playing with Disney?
Well, it was an education.
Yeah.
And it was rewarding in terms of having insight into possibility of musical expression. Dizzy Gillespie was quite a wise man. He was surrounded by creative musicians. Dizzy said, for example, he said he could give one lesson to the students at Harvard University, and it would last them a whole year.
Mm.
So that was quite a statement.
Well, I also understood that playing with him, because of the musical explorations, you pretty much needed to eat your Wheaties in your spinach and what have you.
Oh, you say that again. It was a grand experience, opportunity.
Were you introduced to the concept of composing, working with Dizzy, or did that happen elsewhere?
Yeah, well, I realized I needed to know more about composition. People like Ted Dameron would bring, and J.J. Johnson would bring compositions in for us to play. And I realized at that time that although I could read the music, I didn't know how to compose. So when I went back home to Detroit, I enrolled in Wayne State University and started to study composition. And then for my bachelor's, I majored in flute, minored in composition at Manhattan School of Music.
And then you taught in New York. You had,
I did. I taught at the Manhattan School of Music
right. About
a year, and then the Borough of Manhattan Community College.
Yay, BMCC. Yay!
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Your experience with auto-physio psychic music.
Right.
How is it teaching?
How is it teaching?
Yes, how is it teaching audio-physio?
It depends on how susceptible the listener and the analytical skills of the listener is. That will determine what one learns.
Mm-hmm.
We all have different levels of listening and interpretation, but he who listens learns, I think. simply and has the realization of some type of aesthetic world of sound. One can learn to recognize the note in the sound, in the speaking sound or in the musical sound. So it depends on how one uses their ears and their hearts to listen.
To get back to the compositions, because, I suspect, it seems as though you've composed so many pieces. I mean, just the earlier Savoy pieces and Prestige and what have you. But then, currently, it seems as though every time you breathe, you compose something.
Yeah, well, once you have a recording contract, you have to be prepared if you're doing, say, two albums a year.
Ah, I see.
So generally what I was producing.
Wow. How was the, shall I say, big label experience for you?
Well, I had a good stay with the late Joel Dorn with Atlantic Records.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the freedom, to record what I wanted to, which was a grand opportunity. And for the most part, I didn't have to look for a record contract because I had a long stay, close to 10 years with Atlantic and Impulse Prestige.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to try to be quick here. This is Joyce Jones. This is Sugar in My Bowl. You're listening to a rebroadcast of a program that we did with Yusef Lateef in January of 2010. Just to let you know, the playlist is up on Sugar, S-U-G-A, in My Bowl, .org. My associate producer, Hank Williams, has placed the playlist up there. So just go there, look for playlists, and you'll see the playlist for tonight's program. And also, since this program was done in 2010, it was before we started doing the bandstand, so there unfortunately is not time for the bandstand. However, there is a bandstand up at the sugarinmybowl.org site. So go there and you'll find out all of the former Sugar guests who are going to be at the Winter Jazz Festival happening next week. In 100 locations? You have to go to sugarinmybowl.org and check it out. There will also be a link for the Winter Jazz Festival there. What we're listening to right now, what I am talking over, resistantly talking over, is Nubian Lady, Yusef Lateef from The Gentle Giant, 1972 Atlantic Records release. This is from a 2008 Wounded Bird Records reissue. Ray Bryant and Kenny Barron on pianos, electric pianos, actually, as well. Sam Jones and Bob Cunningham on basses, Bill Salter on electric bass, Kuumba Tutti Heath on drums, Laji Kamara on African percussion. Before that, we heard Eastern Market, but these are two releases from the Atlantic Records label. That's from Yusef Lateef's Detroit, 1969. As I mentioned, Atlantic Records. Rick Gale on electric guitar, Yusef Lateef on flute, tenor sax, Cecil McBee on acoustic bass, Chuck Rainey on electric bass, Norman Pride or Ray Barreto on conga, Albert Tutti Heath on percussion, Bernard Purdy or Roy Brooks Jr. on drums, Curtis Fuller on trombone. String quartet includes Gene Arloff, Sellert Clark. This would be on some other recording. Emmanuel Green and Kermit Moore. William Fisher is the conductor where there are strings involved. Jump Did La Ba. 1945 Dizzy Gillespie. I got this from a 2005 Jazz Biography release. That would be Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet and Yusef Lateef tenor sax solo. Before that, we heard one of my other favorites, Love Theme from Spartacus, Yusef Lateef from Eastern Sounds, 1961 Prestige release, Barry Harris on piano, Ernie Farrell on bass, Rabat, Lex Humphreys on drums, Yusef Lateef on flute, oboe on that recording, and tenor sax on others. Stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl, Yusef Lateef. Her Boyd is coming up soon, so stay tuned for that. And thank you again, Adam Rudolph, for your participation. And again, see Daniel Dawson for connecting me with Yusef Lateef. Much, much thanks. Stay tuned. was your first piece, the Afro...
Oh, you mean African-American Epic Suite? Yeah,
yes.
That was a suite, yeah.
Oh, okay. How was that, approaching that? How was it, since it was your first?
Well, you know, I was commissioned by this, this German radio in Frankfurt to write a piece, and I had freedom to write what I chose and could. And so I took the theme of, what do you call it, a tone poem, which reflected, it told the story of African-American before he became African-American in Africa. And then the second movement was the Middle Passage, and this third movement was Love for All, when mankind was preaching from Northampton to the Blue Ridge Mountains, Kentucky, about the brotherhood of mankind, etc. And the last movement, I think it's called Love for All. And I enjoyed doing it. That's how I went about it. And, of course, it was certain, like the Middle Passage, I thought about the piece I'd studied in school, La Mire by Claude Debussy. And I just looked at the rhythm. He got the sound of boats. So I didn't use the melody, but I used the rhythms, which gave a feeling of a ship being rowed. I don't know if you noticed that when you heard it.
I will hear it by the time this comes to air.
And it worked out. It took about 7 weekends.
Oh.
As I was teaching at the time at University of Massachusetts.
the autobiography, The Gentle Giant.
With
Herb Boyd.
Right.
That tells it all. You know,
that's what went down during my musical career.
It covers everything, and all of the holes that I may have left out, it would definitely be covered in that book. Everything is there.
Oh, thank you.
And on the line we have Herb Boyd. Hi, Herb Boyd.
Hey, Joyce.
Hey. So in our conversation with Yusef Lateef, we talked about The Gentle Giant.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me about how that came about? How did you wind up working on that book with Yusef Lateef?
I aggressively pursued it. not really. It was one of those kind of serendipitous things that happened. Oren Keepnews, who's a very fine music producer, perhaps you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
And he was putting together kind of a collection of Yusef stuff. Mm. On the old label, going back to Savoy labels. And so he was saying that, would I be interested in doing the liner notes? And I say, I would leap at that opportunity since I've been following Yusef, since I was at least 15 or 16 years of age.
Wow.
And he was in Detroit, and I had an opportunity as a teenager to go out to the clubs and hear him on many, many occasions, particularly at Klein Show Bar and the Bluebird Inn in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So when he offered me that opportunity, I said, wow, it's like a dream come true. And since I'm also a kind of a frustrated musician, I say, well, this would be an opportunity to get really close, and maybe if I do a good enough job, he'll let me get a couple free flute lessons.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
So I did the liner notes in the collection of recordings, and Yusef saw it, and he had heard of me over the years because I used to be the correspondent there for Downbeat Magazine for about 10 years in Detroit. And also was affiliated with a number of the musicians that later on he performed with, including Eternal Wind, Adam Rudolph and Charles Moore, and Buzzy Jones. So they were all like students of mine when I taught at Oberlin.
Oh, okay.
So it was like this hookup was just coming together. So after he saw the liner notes, I began to talk to him about, Yusef, you ought to do your autobiography. And I was not even thinking about me necessarily doing, but that so many other musicians were putting their books out there. And so he jumped at the idea. He said, well, hey, why would you like to work with me on that? I say, again, I would love to do that. So I rounded up and put together the proposal, and we shopped it around, and the University of Michigan grabbed it off first.
Okay.
And that didn't work out so swell because of any number of things, particularly the whole control and the money, the promotion, what have you. So we got a better offer from Morton Books. And that way, Yusef, who loves to control his own properties, his own, what you call his intellectual property.
Sure.
And this is an opportunity to do so and keep control over it. And it worked out very well. In fact, the book is now going into its fourth printing. For Yusef, the book was just, he had so many items out there, so many products. He's written a couple of novellas.
Exactly.
Books of poetry.
Right.
All kind of essays. He has his own recording company.
And cheap music.
Right. He's got so many products. That
right.
Even his paintings and posters.
Exactly.
And so having a book just throws it into the general collection of things that he can offer. And he wasn't that interested in maybe getting out there and making money on it. You know, it's kind of like finally, to some extent, like a vanity piece, hey, here's my book, I got it done, and so be it.
Right.
But, of course, Morton, they're interested from a commercial standpoint, and so they've done a pretty good job of promoting the book and getting the reviews and everything and adding it to his own website, which is just a phenomenal website. I guess
it is.
It out, Joyce.
It's YusefLateef.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with so many different writers over the years, and the way it happened, we had phone calls, a number of phone calls, a number of personal interviews. I would go out to his concerts and everything and talk to him, interview him before a concert and after, and I would send him about 10, 12 questions through the mail, and he sent back the tape version of it. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have to write anything. And then I would transcribe the cassette and then do a lot of, backstory, add to it, fill it out, shoot it back to him for approval, and then he would give it back to me for a final edit. And that's the process we use for all of the chapters until we got the book done. And then we were very much pleased that another young fan of his was able to supply us with this extensive discography in the back of the book.
Oh, wonderful.
David Brown. So that added to it and gave it a book a little bit more heft.
And now we'd like to bring to you an original written by Yusuf Lateef, titled Yusuf. Thank you. like to make a correction. That was written by Barry Harris in honor of Yusuf Lateef.
I think Gentle Giant is absolutely apropos when it comes to Yusuf and his kind of influence, the impact he's had on world music.
Right.
I think the late Jewel Dorn said it very well in one of the blurbs on the book. He said, Yusuf's ears can see the whole world.
Wow. That's perfect.
Beautiful.
By the way, where did the title Gentle Giant come from?
Gentle Giant was the name of an album.
Okay. Yeah, it was from the 70s. Or one of the Atlantic recordings.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we were kind of going over different titles for the book, and I went through all of the different albums to see which of those would be catchy enough. And then it was running by Yusuf, and Yusuf himself, he made that decision.
Okay.
He would say, let's call it a Gentle Giant.
Excellent.
And gentle is one of those words that really rides very well with him.
Yes.
I mean, you have to work very hard. I thought it was going to be a lot harder, you know, getting him to kind of dredge up a lot of stuff. Mm. He being such a shy and introverted person, I mean, he turns inward. He doesn't turn outward.
Right.
And you have to kind of dig stuff out of him and keep pushing. And I know I wouldn't have those kind of opportunities for those exchanges. So I said, well, let him just settle and do, this is his book. I don't like the idea of, you know, the writer intruding too much in someone's life. Let them tell the story. And only where it has a very rough articulation should you jump in there to kind of smooth out the language, because he's a poet and a painter. So he has this vision, and he has a sense of the language, and he has such a universality and a deep religious feeling about him that I think he can summon up his own expressions, and he did that very well. He could have written a book without me, I'm saying at last.
Well, thank you very much, Herb Boyd, for working with Yusuf Lateef.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Joyce.
And thank you for joining us on Sugar My Bowl. Again, this is indeed Sugar My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. That was Herb Boyd, journalist and co-writer of the autobiography of the Gentle Giant about Dr. Brother Yusuf Lateef. And what we're listening to in the background, for those who may have seen A Great and Mighty Walk, the documentary, I guess it was produced by, I'm drawing a blank, what is wrong with, anyway, A Great and Mighty Walk about Dr. John Henrik Clark, Plum Blossom, Yusuf Lateef, Eastern Sounds, Wesley Snipes produced, yes, A Great and Mighty Walk, okay. Whew, the mind is still working. Eastern Sounds, 1961 Prestige release. Barry Harris on piano. Ernie Farrow on bass, rabat. Lex Humphries on drums. And Yusuf Lateef on flute, oboe, and tenor sax on other recordings. Before that, we heard Yusuf, which is written by Barry Harris. The mistake was the credit was originally given to Yusuf Lateef. And can you imagine Yusuf Lateef writing a song about himself? Not likely. So thank you, Barry Harris. That was from Donald Byrd's First Flight. It was originally recorded in 1965, but this was from a 1990 Delmark Records release. Donald Byrd on trumpet, Yusuf Lateef on tenor sax, Barry Harris on piano. Bernard, there is Barry Harris right now. Okay, let me hurry up. Bernard McKinney, euphonium, Alvin Jackson on bass, and Frank Gant on drums. Before that, we heard the second movement, Transmutation, from Yusuf Lateef's The African American Epic Suite for quintet, and orchestra. It's a 1994 ACT Records release. And as I mentioned, the playlist is up on Sugar My Bowl, if you join our Facebook page, you'll be able to receive events of when Sugar My Bowl is coming on and who our guest is going to be. And the playlist is up there as well. Before that, we heard the inspiration for that particular piece. See, this is the second time I've had to say this, but it is called Dalab Medisir Lamir. Whew, yeah. D-E, second word, L apostrophe A-U-B-E, third word A, fourth word M-I-D-I-S-U-R, fifth word La, L-A, last word M-E-R. So you work that out for those who do that, who listen to that. And that is probably the last time I will say that on this show. Stay tuned for more Yusuf Lateef. Yusuf Lateef transitioned on December 23rd. Thank you, Lavelle Porter, for that reminder. And I have to thank Herb Boyd for actually confirming the news, because I wasn't willing to buy it from anybody's Facebook status. Stay tuned for more Yusuf Lateef on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. You have your own label, which you started in the 90s, I think it was?
Yeah, no, I think it was 1992.
Okay.
YAL Records. Yeah. Right.
And how is that as far as distribution for you?
Well, at one time it was no problem in distribution. I had a distributor. But, you know, the electronic age has changed the way that you sell records on iTunes, et cetera.
Right.
And so distribution slowed down because of that.
Well, there is a great website you have, though. I don't know who maintains it, but...
Yeah, well, I had to go that way, you know. I didn't know any other way to go.
And that's Yusuf Lateef?
Yes.
.com. Yeah, that's a very thorough site. It also includes your novellas.
Oh, yeah.
How long had you been doing that?
It started in the 70s.
And you voice them.
Yeah, well, one of them, one is Another Avenue. Mm-hmm. It's in voice also, as well as physical publication.
You grew up, well, you're an only child.
Yes, I am.
And so you grew up with lots of sounds of nature and just the environment. And how has that contributed to your music making?
Well, you see, I feel basically that the universe, the plant kingdom, the human kingdom, we are all creations of providence, and I think one can get a concept of beauty just looking at into the eyes of a flower, if you will. Or if one can hear the love in their mother's voice when she calls to you or speaks to you. When you see acts of kindness demonstrated to those who need it, like orphans, or just simply children, one can learn what the icons of tenderness and beauty is, if you will.
When you started to express your spiritual beliefs, how did you maneuver through that?
You're speaking about when I embraced the religion of Islam?
Yes.
I embraced Islam through the Ahmadiyya movement in Islam. I had no problem with that. I don't know of anyone who had any negative feelings about it. It was an honest endeavor, and I think it was accepted as such.
Oh, okay. Well, I could definitely hear in your music just mm-hmm. the expression of soul and mm-hmm. nature and mm-hmm. just living. There's a lot of life in your music.
Oh, that's wonderful. This you can, your ears can hear that.
Thank you.
Did you ever marry?
Oh, yes. I married when I was 21.
Oh.
And my first wife, she passed. I had two children. They passed, one in the year of 2000.
I see.
And my son in 2001.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Then I married again 37 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I had a son. His name is Yusuf.
Oh, okay.
Abdulatif. And his mother passed this past October 29th.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We are from God, and to God we shall return. It's just a matter of time.
Does Yusuf perform?
No,
he
studies mathematics.
Oh.
And calculus.
Oh. It seems very similar, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Now, I understand you had a favorite piece from the Centaur and the Phoenix. The one about your first child, Iqbal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was a wonderful daughter. Yeah, I like that piece. Yeah. You know, the bassoon, featuring bassoon.
Working on recently?
Recently I finished my second symphony, and I'm now working on the third symphony. That's what I'm busy doing now.
I also noticed your relationship with Cannonball Adderley.
Oh, yeah, for 2 years, yeah.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was another learning experience aesthetically. Cannonball was quite a learned musician and a businessman, and with times when riding along the road, he would lecture about the music of Stravinsky, etc. And it was a grand opportunity for me. And I never heard him practice while we were on the road.
Oh, really?
I thought that was odd. But when you get on the bandstand, he would play like a wizard, you know.
Hmm.
He had some way of practicing without his instrument. I know Barry Harris can do that.
Ah, yes. And you've recorded with Barry Harris. You went to school together, didn't you?
We both grew up in Detroit.
I see.
And we played together in Detroit. They call him the high priest of music in Detroit.
Ah.
He's a great teacher.
There are many singers and musicians that I've met over the years who are constantly mentioning his name.
Yeah. Well, he has a history of teaching many students. I'm one of them.
It seems as though you were performing as a leader for a long time.
Yes, it started in 1955, actually. When I left the band, I was working with Barry at the Bluebird in Detroit, and I was offered to lead the band at a place called Klein's in 1955. And then Curtis Fuller was in the group, Hugh Lawson, Frank Gant, and Ernie Farrell. And I did the first recording on the off night. We had left Detroit on Sunday night, record on Monday, and Hackensack Tuesday night to play. We played about 5 years. And so we were prepared, plenty of material to record.
Uh-huh.
So we started doing about 2 albums a year in 1955. And finally in 60, I said, well, I might as well move to New York. And that followed.
Right now you're listening to Before Dawn, Yusef Lateef. Yusef Lateef at Cranbrook. This is a 2009 Cherry Red Records release, originally recorded in 1957. Yusef Lateef on tenor sax, flute and argol on others. Curtis Fuller on trombone, Hugh Lawson on piano. He's also playing Salit. Whatever that is. Ernie Farrell on bass and Lewis Hayes on drums. Before that, we heard Mello Buono from Cannonball Adderley. That's the Jazz Workshop Revisited, a 1963 Landmark Records release. Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Nat Adderley on cornet, Lewis Hayes on drums, Sam Jones on bass, Yusef Lateef on flute, oboe, saxophone, and multiple reeds. Before that, we heard Iqbal, Yusef Lateef, The Centaur and the Phoenix, 1960 Riverside Records release. Yusef Lateef, tenor sax, oboe, flute, argol, Clark Terry, and Richard Williams on trumpets, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Tate Houston, baritone sax, Josiah Taylor on bassoon, Joe Zawinul on piano, Ben Tucker on bass, and Lex Humphreys on drums. Before that, we heard I'll Always Be in Love with You, Yusef Lateef, from Psychomotis, 1965 Impulse Records release. Yusef Lateef on flute, bamboo flute, Chinese wind flute, tenor sax, tambourine on other recordings. George Avanitas on piano, Reggie Workman on bass, James Black on drums, Indian bell and percussion. And I actually needed help with George Avanitas' name from Reggie Workman when he was a sugar guest. Stay tuned for more Sugar and My Bowl. By the way, you can go to sugar, sugaandmybowl.org, and find the blog for the bandstand listings for the coming week of former sugar guests. Hank Williams, our associate producer, has put that up there, and he's put it together and put that up there. And the playlist is up there as well. If you join our Facebook page, you can find our events, SUGA in My Bowl, on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. That's mostly Hank Williams' domain. I just, you know, announce the shows and share the SoundCloud promos and what have you. But anyway, stay tuned for more Before Dawn from Yusef Lateef on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. I have several of the older recordings, and I'm becoming more familiar with the more current pieces on the YAL label.
I see.
As a matter of fact, there's one person that you work with a lot on your label, Adam...
Adam Rudolph?
Adam Rudolph, yeah.
Right.
How did you wind up working with him?
Well, you know, I was in Nigeria for 5 years. It was August 1981 to August 85, about 4 years. And I returned, and I got a phone call from Adam Rudolph. He said a trumpet player, Charles Moore, suggested that he call me. They were doing some oriental-oriented things. And we became friends, and we did some project, musical projects together. In fact, it was Adam who recommended this German fellow commissioned me to do the African-American Epic Suite. And he took Adam up on it, and he called me and gave me a commission.
So you're still working together, yes?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, we do things occasionally. We'll be right back.
say I'm a new student and I came into your class.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you say to all your students? Is there like a first thing that you say to all students to introduce them to the class?
Not really. I don't think so.
Okay.
But basically, I guess I ask a question, you know, what is it you want to learn? And of course, I try to teach them to be able to express themselves, their own voice. I try to get them to understand that each human being has something special.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job to find out what that is and to nurture the skills, bring about the skills that we need to express what's in the heart.
What are your thoughts about, I guess, what's been labeled free jazz?
I don't know. Because of the ambiguity of the word jazz.
Right.
I don't comprehend anything when you
use it. I see. Well, as an example, music that's played. Well, you've worked with Archie Shepp, and he's been known to play that type of expression.
Oh yeah. Well, I try to respect each person's concept.
I see.
I believe in it, but I don't deny them the right. To speak it and to think that way. I don't expect them. That's what is meant by freedom to me, is respect other people's points of view. Although you don't have, for instance, said, I defend to my death your right to say it.
Right.
I disapprove, but I defend.
I have mixed feelings about the concept of critics anyway, but there are certain critics that have no longer listened to certain artists because they decided to explore a new avenue. Or a different avenue for themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember reading once that some critics, they are critics because they have no skills of their own. Now, I don't know if that's true. I suppose it could be that way.
It takes many people to be on the planet.
Oh, yeah, of course. We need respect.
Yes.
We need to learn how to disagree peacefully.
Yes. Yes.
Without condemning others.
Speaking of disagreeing peacefully, I'm sort of hesitant about mentioning, but hey, I'm just going to go with it. In 2001, when what happened at the World Trade Center happened, and there was a sort of insult to people who practice Muslim belief. And it still seems to happen today. It hasn't stopped, or, you know, it's probably eased up a little, but it's still, you know, something that people seem to express every now and then. Did that affect your surroundings in any way?
Well, it brought like a special scrutiny to me sometimes when I travel. I remember sitting in the airport in Italy, waiting on the plane, you know, and three guards came through and they glanced at me. And they came back, finally they came to me and went through my papers, and I had been searched prior to that. But, I can't blame them for being careful. I don't want the one to blow up a plane or anything myself.
Right.
I'm just going trying to make an honest living, you know.
Right.
So that's a very sad thing for innocent people to be killed like that. And that's what I mean. Somewhere people are disagreeing with each other. We need to disagree peacefully, you know. And that's what's lacking in humanity. We don't know how to sit down and talk about our differences, do anything to bring about peace in terms of conversation. So all I can do is just pray for humanity like I do frequently. And the Holy Quran says disagree peacefully. It doesn't say go kill innocent people.
Right.
I wouldn't want to believe in nothing like that.
I actually do not believe that concept is written anywhere that people should just kill.
That's right. I haven't seen that either. Yeah, like the Quran says, what is wrong with you that you don't help each other?
Right.
That's what we are supposed to be about, making it comfortable for our neighbor, the man in the street, the poor, the uneducated. We're supposed to be helping everyone. That's the type of paradise on earth when women can start helping each other, not condemning each other with this. You say the Muslim shouldn't hurt anyone with his tongue or his hand, and that's talking to people who slander others. We shouldn't do that. We, If we can't say something good, we shouldn't say anything.
Great. Professor Yusuf Lateef.
Yes, thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm very grateful to you and your audience.
And thank you for your continued expression.
Oh, thank you.
Of auto-physio-psychic music. And it does mean music from a physical, mental, spiritual capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was a rebroadcast of our special with Yusuf Lateef. NEA Jazz Master Yusuf Lateef. Dr. Brother Yusuf Lateef. We transitioned on December 23rd, 2013. And what we heard before we ended our discussion was, what we're hearing right now is Like It Is. Sort of slipped it in from the Blue Yusuf Lateef 1968 Atlantic Records release. Yusuf Lateef on tenor sax, flute, pneumatic flute, bamboo flute, chenay, tambora, Taiwan koto, and scratcher. Sonny Red on alto sax, Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Buddy Lucas on harmonica on some recordings, Kenny Burrell on guitar, Hugh Lawson on piano, Cecil McBee on bass, Bob Cranshaw on Fender bass, and Roy Brooks on drums. By the way, Yusuf Lateef is survived by his wife, Aisha, his present wife, Aisha, and Yusuf Lateef's son, Yusuf. And let's see, before that we heard Fourth Movement on the Presto Records release. Yusuf Lateef from Yusuf Lateef's Little Symphony, 1970 Flying Dutchman release, Flying Dutchman Bluebird. Yusuf Lateef on flute, drums, alto flute, soprano sax, tenor sax, sitar, producer, he's acting as producer on this one, tenor flute, gourd, water drums, Casio, Mirage, Kalangu, Shenny. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa. Next week, our guest will be, as mentioned before we got this surprise of the transition of Yusuf Lateef, will indeed be Alphonse Muzon, drummer Alphonse Muzon. And thank you for listening to Sugar My Bowl. Stay tuned, as I've mentioned, for La Nueva Alternativa on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.